All right, can you guys hear me better? There we go, right? Good morning. Man, it's exciting to be with you. You know, I was a little challenged. I keep hearing everybody say the powerful message, and I'm trying to look at who's going to be the speaker. Right? Talk about a powerful message. But look, this morning, I am really excited to be with you because here's the reason. You know how they always have that saying, leave all the drama outside and come inside with a great attitude? You know what I'm talking about? But we're not going to do that today. I want you to bring your problems inside. And by the end of the day, we're going to lay it down before Jesus. Amen? Because this is where we bring our issues to, right? I loved how Aziz, Coco, and Jerry was sharing. And they shared about, you know, laying your burdens down. You know how Jesus will take his burden. He'll take on our burdens. Because that's what we need to do, right? Today, my message is shine a light on it. Right? It's nothing to do with any rap song, anything like that, you know. I want to make sure I'm clear. I know a lot of you heard that. I heard it too. But before I do that, I want us to pray. And as we pray, then we'll begin. Fair enough? Good. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the men and women in the room. Thank you for your word that inspires, encourages us, and motivates us. And more importantly, changes and shapes us because you loved us first. Be with us. Be with the word that will be spoken this morning, that it can penetrate our hearts and help us change and be different forever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 So shine a light on it. You know, we had an opportunity to go away, and we went away to Puerto Rico. How many of you have been to Puerto Rico before? All right, beautiful. So one of the beautiful things about Puerto Rico, we went to Fajardo. It's called the bioluminescent. It's like the water is there, and that's the water glowing right there. And what makes the water glow is this algae that's in the water. The algae in the water, it's called plankton. So the reason why it goes like that is when it's disturbed. When the water is disturbed, say, for example, you're paddling or something, it glows. And we had an opportunity to see that. So we took the family all kayaking. It was five of us. So all five of us, we go, we're kayaking. And there was a problem, though. You had to go in kayaks by two, and it was five of us. I was the odd man left out. So I had to, you know, paddle with a stranger, which is totally fine. The only challenge with it was her first time. So it's her first time. I'm excited because I've been here before. You know, it's dark. And as you paddle, you can see everything light up. But she was afraid. So she was afraid. And guess what happened? The guide said, do you need me to click on? I'm in the back of her. I'm saying, no, I don't want to click on. I want to paddle. So I had to get clicked on to her. And we were very last. And it was disappointing to me at first. I was trying to think in my mind, I got to find a way to get my money back. Because I want to take action. I want to paddle. But then here's what happened. We're in the back, but I can see in the front. And I can see what's the light. I could see my wife and my other son, Chase, and they're paddling. And I could see that the light is shining. Then up front, I see my other kids. I see Tristan and Saray. And they're in the first place, and I see them paddling. And you know what I realized? I got the best seat in the house. Because guess what? God shined the light on all of them through that water. Right, so even though that disappointment hurt me, because I paid a pretty penny for it, and I had to sit back and fold my hands while somebody paddles me around, but at least I was able to see them, right? Pretty cool. I don't know why I brought that up. No, I actually do. But you know what? Today I want you, at the end, you'll understand. The one thing about the bioluminescent, these algae that's out there, the plankton, they're always there, day or night. What makes them shine light is when it's disturbed. When it's moved, the water's moved around or something's happening, guess what? That's when the light is shined on them. Okay? And I want to talk about first today. I'm going to talk about a man. I'm going to share with you a little bit about his background and his story, and then I'm going to go into the scripture. It was a man named Joseph. We all know Joseph. Sometimes we hear about him around Christmas. Joseph was the father of Jesus. Right? And the title here is Love Makes You Do Crazy Things. I want to share the backdrop to the story, and then we're going to read it. Here it is, Joseph. He's engaged to be married to Mary. So him and Mary's engaged, and then he sees Mary and she says, you know what? I'm pregnant, right? He sees a little bump in her stomach. So, of course, him as a man, he's going to ask questions. What's going on? How did you get pregnant? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit impregnate me. Hold on a second, man. Let me ask you a question. I know my wife. If I was engaged, we'd do it all over engaged, and she comes to me, and I see a little bump in her stomach, and I'm like, well, what's going on? She said, I'm impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Guys, I don't know if I'll take that real clearly. I'm like, let's call it off. It is over. You're lying, right? But I want to share something about Joseph was unique. And you'll see it as I read it, but I want to share it. Joseph was faithful to the Lord. You see, it wasn't about his hurt at that time because he loved the Lord. He loved God. And he sought for a way to do it in a hushed way. He wanted to protect her. He even wanted to go through with the marriage. He said, you know what? I'm going to marry her and then divorce her quietly, still thinking about her, looking to protect her. That's a man, right? That's a godly man, right? And I thought about something else. At that time with women, you know, in essence, women were sometimes treated as property. Am I right? And it wasn't right. So he could actually grab the hand, took out in front, and got her stoned. He didn't do that. He could have shamed her. He didn't do that either. Because his love for the word, I'm going to read the scripture. It says in Matthew 1, 19 to 21, it says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. It says, but after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Now, because of his decision, right? Think about Joseph for a second. He made this decision to do it, and he got some special honor here. Who did the angel go to name Jesus? Went to Joseph. Joseph got the honor of naming Jesus. The angel told him it was okay. And he planned to marry anyway, in spite of all this. Why? Because the scriptures indicated he was faithful to the law. You know, when I share that love will make you do crazy things, I'm going to make a point in a second. But I want to remind you something about Joseph. Jesus was named as whose son in the Bible? Yeah? But there was a special name based on his father's trade. Joseph, the whose son? Oh, you guys read your Bible. The carpenter's son. Because of his actions, he got to name his son, Jesus, right? Not only did he get to name him, guess what? The people around him knew him as the carpenter's son. All because he loved the Lord and he made the right decision. You see, love will also make you do crazy things. Everything he did, when you think about it, was kind of crazy. Imagine his friends. As he was talking to his friends, yes, you know, I'm engaged to get married. I noticed Mary's pregnant. So you consummated the marriage before? No, she's just impregnated by the Holy Spirit. I can imagine his friends stopping him. What? And you believe her? You're crazy. They probably were making a mockery out of him wherever he went. Psst, look at him. Yeah, she's pregnant, but they're not married yet. Yeah, I know. He said she's impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Think about it. But he went through it and did it anyway because his love for the law. You see, there's a special thing for each of us here when we love God's word like that. There's something unique for somebody sitting in your seat that God's going to call you to do because you love the law. Look what happened to Joseph. He got to name Jesus. He protected him. That's amazing stuff. I want to share something I'm going to share. You probably see this man here. This is my dad. My name, I never give my name out because I hate it. I'm just joking, but my name is Reginald Carver Wilson II. That's Reginald Carver Wilson I, whatever. I want to share a story about something crazy he did. It was the end of the school year. My sister was coming home from school. And as she was coming home from school, she was being followed. So she comes in the house. My dad just came home from work, and I'm sitting there. She comes and says, Dad, somebody was chasing me, following me home from school. He said, really? He says, okay, Reggie, come with me. I'm like, why is he calling me? Call the cops. Why am I going with you for? What am I going to do? So I go in the car. He said he told my sister to come in the car as well. And he starts driving across this bridge. And she said, there he is right there. He said, okay, great. He says, here's what I want you to do. You go right back home and go home. Reggie, and I'm getting out the car too because I think I'm leaving as well. He says, no, Reggie, you stay right here. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm looking across the street. I'm seeing the size of this man. And my dad was kind of big too, but this guy was huge. He was burly. He looked like he was out in the wilderness or something. Ruffy beard. I said, oh my gosh. So he tells my sister to go back. She goes back to the house. My dad sees the man. He watches him, starts the car back up, drives to him, turns around, parks right in front of him, jumps out the car. I'm inside the car. I'm like, okay, I'll just sit here, you know. He says, Reggie, get out the car. What in the world? Why? So I get out the car, and my dad had something behind his back. Now, look, I'm not condoning this. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just going to tell you, when you love something, you would do something crazy. So he had something behind the back, and he approached the man. He said, were you just following my daughter? So the guy smirked. And my dad looked at his smirk, and I looked at my dad's eyes. Something just clicked. He pulls out a bat, hits him in the knees, and the guys fall to the floor. Now you're thinking, I'm a little kid, and I see this, and I'm like in shock. He says, all right. He said, sit down. The guy sit down like a dog. He says, Reggie, go in the store and call the cops. So as I'm going up the steps, I look on the side, and there's a wanted picture about a man touching girls, little girls. I look at the picture. It was the same man. Crazy, right? So my dad had him waiting there. The cops come on the scene. They take him away. They didn't even ask my dad a question. They looked at him and just shook their head. Good job. Like, and took the guy away. And they started actually beating the guy while I'm right there, too. They started hitting him, which is not good, but he was known. This man was known in the neighborhood to touch little girls, which wasn't good. So I jump in the car, and I'm shaking. And as I'm shaking, my dad's driving back. He knows I'm shaking. He tells me, you know why I wanted you to come with me? I said, why? I said, you could have just called the cops. You didn't have to do that. He says, no, I wanted you to see that. He says, you know why? You're going to grow up, you're going to have a family, and it's going to come a time where you're going to do something crazy for your family. He said, do you think that man would come back to this neighborhood? I said, no, I don't think so. He said, exactly the point. But he said, you got to remember something. I'll never forget this. And I'm not condoning again the batting, but listen, when you love God and when you do things for God, when you see how much you're loved, you will do crazy things. You see, when I saw it that day, I knew my dad would do anything for me. You see, the same way our Father in heaven will do crazy things for us. And that's why Joseph took that woman to be his wife, because he knew how much he was loved, because he loved the law. Do you love the law? Do you love God's word? It's a question for all of us. We always could love more, but I'll never forget it. It's an important lesson for us. Because love will make you do crazy things. When's the last time you did something crazy for God? Because he loved us first. Amen? Now, next up, what does it mean to love your neighbor? I know we got the scripture, the great, the Samaritan. And I hope I didn't shock anybody, because that's a crazy story, right? To this day, I remember it so vividly. Because it's embedded in my memory, because it was shocking, but yet I understood the point. That love will make you do crazy things. What? And I saw that, and I said, you know what? He loved my sister that much. He loved our family, that he would go out, risk his life, go to jail. I think it was foolish, but I understand his point and why he did it. And who knows what if that man wasn't stopped at that point, how many other little girls he would have chased, followed home, and maybe even touched them like he did others. So amen. Now what it means to love your neighbor. It says, love your neighbor. In Luke 10, 29, verse 37. This is a guy, some religious guy wanted to come to Jesus and prove his point. He wanted to say, okay, well, Jesus, what does it mean to love your neighbor? Why should I do it? And you'll see the point in a second. In verse 29, it says, but he wanted to justify himself, so we asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now here's a story. You have all these people, and it talks about you had a priest go and see this man and went on his way. Maybe he had something to do, right? Priest had something to do. Maybe he had to go pray for somebody, but there was a need right there. Okay? Then it says, then a Levite came by and passed right by him. But then a Samaritan actually stopped for him. And then Jesus told them, go and do likewise. And who is your neighbor? You know who your neighbor is? Someone you look out there and it's very inconvenient to help them. Look, you think this was inconvenient? Can you imagine you're on your way to church? I was just laughing with my wife. Can you imagine if we're on the way to church and somebody's car broke down and I see a bunch of kids outside and they're waving down for help and I just pass them by? Well, I got to go. I got to do a message. Right? But think about it. What's more important? You see, sometimes, or most of the time, loving your neighbor could be very inconvenient. And this is an inconvenient time, but this person, not only did he help this person, gave him money, took him to an inn, make sure to the whole process that he would get better. You see, again, love for your neighbor is inconvenient. I remember we was taking this long trip. We were going upstate, and I had put too much air in the tires in the car. And one of the tires at the time blown or coming up, we got it fixed. But on the way back, the other tire blown, and it was a Sunday. And if you know Sunday, most places are closed. It was Sunday, it was like 3-4 o'clock. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm upstate in the middle of nowhere, almost dark. I'm not going to get any help. So we're on a road, we're with another couple. So we're sitting on the road and we're trying to think what we're going to do. Our wives, who are spiritual, they start to pray. We're sitting there, I'm digging through the trunk, what can I do, put something together. All of a sudden, I see a truck stop. Truck stop, this guy comes out, hey, what's going on? I'm like, listen, you know, tire blown out and stuff. He said, hop in, bring everything with you. He takes us, doesn't know us from Adam, doesn't know us from anywhere, takes us to a tire shop, waits for them to fix the tire for us. As a matter of fact, he got there right before the tire shop closed. Took care of everything, took us back to our car, helped us put the tire on, and we're like, look, we got to give this guy some type of money or something. He went out of his way, and he didn't have to do it. And not only that, he jumped out. He was barefooted. He had a truck. I was like, what's this guy barefooted for? But he was barefooted. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So he did all of that, and then we're like, look, let's give you some money or something. He says, don't worry about it. Jumps back in his truck, and he leaves. I remember this story to this day because I know it was inconvenient. That showed me what it means to love your neighbor. He didn't have to do anything. I was a complete stranger, and love your neighbor. Sometimes you get caught up as disciples. Okay, let me help the family of believers. Let me help our brothers and sisters. But sometimes it's not that. The lesson's going to come through strangers. He'll always be embedded in my mind because he made a huge impact for me. And we got to think about loving our neighbors and who we making an impact on. Shine a light on it. You see, the reason why I want to talk about this part, remember what I talked in the beginning about the bioluminescent and how it shines in the water as, you know, the algae shines in the water as it's disturbed, as it's swayed back and forth. You know, it's really important for us to to shine a light on stuff. Let me go to the scriptures. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree to life. And if you realize it, it makes all the references regarding to the heart and how important our heart is, because everything flows through it. You see, the reason why I bring this up, I think about it, and I want you to think about when I said, remember I said earlier, I said, I want you to bring your burdens in here. I want you to bring your challenge. And don't leave it at the door. Bring it in here so we could surrender it today. Because you got to shine a light on those dark areas of your heart. Those are the places that can be a testimony and help other people. Case in point, I'm going to share something personal about me. I was holding something inside of myself for a while. And it came up again. My grandmother recently died. And what happened, one of the things that made me, I remember when my dad died, and I was in there. You know, I had just stepped out. He asked me to help him mow the lawn, and boom, the time I got back, he died of a heart attack. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not there. And my grandmother's issue, it was kind of similar, and I didn't realize how much I was holding this in. When I was helping her, because I helped her through the process, just to share with you, she was there, and you know, she was in the hospital. We had to take her off the machines and everything, and I was responsible for that. And before it happened, I went to the house, and she was like, Reggie, you got to call me more. Right, this was right before everything happened. And, you know, it was like all this guilt was going through my mind. Man, I'm there, but I'm not there when it really counts. So I actually, you know, reached out to a therapist on it because I didn't realize how much this was really impacting me. You see, I always felt like insignificant, like I'm really not there for people when it counts. And the therapist helped me to see something. She said, who did your grandmother trust to take care of all affairs? I said, me. She said, how was it that you weren't there? You know, and I thought about it, and she shined a light on that area for me. And I prayed about it. And then she said, you told me about your dad, right? But wasn't you did everything with your dad? Didn't you help out with that? I said, yes. She said, well, what make you felt that you weren't there? I said, that. She said, that one point? I said, yeah, that one point. She said, focus on the good. I'm like, what is she? She's not religious. She's not a disciple. What is she telling me to focus on the good? But it's so true. You got to focus on the good. I'm asking you today, shine a light on the dark areas of your heart. There are some dark areas for each and every one of us that God wants to use so it can be a testimony to others. What is it today that you're not shining a light on? I want you to really think about it because it doesn't always work out. Things don't always come out technically. You're not going to get it out, but find a way. It can be through therapy, your discipling partner, whatever it is. Because there's something inside that you got to let out. Because if you don't let it out, it's going to eat you alive. And if it eats you alive, it's not going to allow you to be the best that the God designed you to be. Shine a light on it. You see, the heart is central to all we do. It must be protected at all costs because everything flows through it. Shine a light on the dark areas of your heart. It will free you. And last story I got. You know, as I was traveling, and you know how you go through the airports? And as you go through the airports, you know, you see the stories. One of the stories that kind of really impacted me, and remember, the reason why we're sharing is because I want to talk about the two things that we're focused on for this summer is loving God and loving your neighbor. And if you, one thing I want to implore you to take care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you'll only be loving God at a limit. You can't give your best because you know what? You may not feel great about yourself. So take care of yourself first. If you want to be great for God, take care of you. Don't take care of anybody. Take care of yourself because if you take care of yourself, you realize how much God loves you. And if you realize how much God loves you, guess what? It's going to trickle out to everybody else. You know, I was going through it. There was this guy named Pierpont Morgan. I'm probably mixing up his name. It's right around where the Wright brothers were, as you know, They flew the first airplane and everything else. So here you got two different families, two men. One man was hired by the government, had all the money, all the accommodations to really build this airplane and everything. So he started on doing it, all the resources. The Wright brothers had a bike shop, nothing really, but they had the passion and they had the heart. So Pierre Beaumont, he almost got there, but he never succeeded. The Wright brothers succeeded. And they contributed, they said, since we were kids, we always envisioned and dreamed of flying an airplane. You see, the guy, Pierre Paul Morgan, he didn't even think about that. He just had all the resources, the government funding. So for him, it was about success. But with the other group, it was about the heart and passion and something they lived to do. Why I bring that up? It's a simple fact. When I said the dark areas of your heart, there's something in your heart that God wants to bring out so you can do for him. I want you to think about it, pray about it, and see what that is. Because whatever it is, it's probably the flip side. That dark area is probably preventing you from doing that. Guys, I thank you for today. I hope this stuff makes sense. It has been an honor. And with that, we're over, right? No, it's that, guys. I really want to thank you, but I really hope that you understand this. It's real important for us to see how great Joseph was because he loved God first. To see what it means to love your neighbor. And finally, shine on lights on the dark areas so you can be your best for God. And to God be the glory. Amen.